Miriam, dearest, reconsider, I beg you.
My mind is made up, Howard.
A confession, Mrs. Cromer. The consequences...
are fully accepted, Inspector. Now, if you will be kind enough to write at my dictation. I, Miriam Jane Cromer, voluntarily confess that on March the 12th, 1888, I did willfully and in cold blood murder one Josiah Percival.
For the little girl.
Jeffrey Poisting! Murderer confesses! Read all about it! Jeffrey Poisting! Murderer confesses!
We present Waxwork by Peter Lovesey, dramatised by Jeffrey M. Matthews, with Brian Cox as Detective Sergeant Cribb, John Cater as Constable Thackeray, Sarah Berger as Miriam Cromer, and Don Henderson as James Berry. Waxwork.
Miriam Jane Cromer. That the deceased Josiah Percival behaved shamefully, even criminally towards you, I concede. But there were other remedies open to you than murder. And even though you've chosen to confess, the law allows only one sentence I may pass upon you. Miriam Jane Cromer, this court doth ordain that you be taken to the place from whence you came, and from thence to a place of execution, and that there you be hanged by the neck until dead.
Lord, let me know mine end and the number of my days, that I may be certified how long I have to live. The word of the Lord, woman.
Aye. And I'm right proud of you, Jim. You know that, don't you?
Aye. And thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart.
The chapel. Preaching. I know what it means to you, but it ain't everything, is it?
Well, it's a sight better than Bradford Constabulary.
Oh, aye. But how about the rest?
The Lord giveth, he also taketh away. Now, never forget that, woman.
With them photos on mantelpiece.
Reminders. But for them, we'd have nought.
Still, would like somewhat else there as well.
Oh, aye.
Maybe a photo of you?
Me? No, not this face. Not with scar and all.
It's honest. God-fearing. And seeing you're away so much, be nice to look up from sewing and see you.
Oh, nay. Now drink up, woman. The good don't like me being late.
There's a studio in Bridge Street.
Uh-huh.
You know, one with velvet drapes. Uh-huh. Fella there takes good photos. You could wear chapel suit and wing collar.
No. Besides, I don't hold with photos.
There's an out in good book about them being a sin.
Well, it's lucky it's Sabbath, woman, or I'd cuff you for blasphemy. And if you had any sense, you'd know why I don't want photo took, especially in Bradford.
Aye, when folk all know you.
Oh, it's not them what bothers me. It's reporters. Now, suppose one from London sees picture. They'd be in every paper in kingdom. And then where'd I be?
Step forward, Cromer.
Good day, Mrs. Cromer. As governor of Newgate, I make it a point to see every prisoner. Now, I take it you've been acquainted with our regulations.
Yes. Yes, sir. Well, Cromer?
I know and understand the regulations, Governor.
Good. Good. Now, Cromer, I am not unaware of the sensibilities of a woman of your position, but the rules must be obeyed. And it is customary to address me as sir.
I'm sorry, sir.
That's better. However, there is no reason why you should suffer to excess. So if you require something to induce sleep, it will be provided.
Thank you, but it will not be necessary, sir.
Well, now, as to your stay in Newgate, 3 Sundays must pass from the day you were sentenced. Assuming there is no intervention, I must deliver you to the sheriff shortly before 8 on the morning of...
The 25th of June, sir.
Exactly. Now, visits from next of kin.
My parents are dead.
Cromer, you must address me as sir.
Sir.
And I am sorry about your parents. Still, maybe it is a consolation they are spared distress. But if you have brothers, sisters...
Sir, I have no desire to see them in this place. But Howard, my husband...
Of course.
And Simon, Mr. Allingham.
Your solicitor. Yes, of course, Mr. Allingham may visit. However, Miriam Cromer, I must caution you. Do not base your hopes on a judicial release. Reconcile yourself to the inevitable. Make peace with your maker.
Cool. Paradise.
Close enough. I never thought I'd say it, Thackeray, but... 10 years running one of the toughest divisions in the Met, cosseting Jarrett, and he ends up with all this.
You've still time, Sarge.
Ah, Crib. Thackeray. Good to see you both. Seems like yesterday, since we all messed together. Upper Street. Real detective work, then. So, no formalities. Sit, sit. Oh, I've just been to the Home Office. I take it Sergeant Cribbs filled you in?
Bare details only, sir. I thought you'd prefer to deal with the rest personally.
And give you a recap as well, Crib. Still foxy, eh? Yeah, well, as we know, Miriam Cromer is in Newgate, due to hang. Barring complications, of course.
Understood we had one.
Yes, but not of consequence, Crib.
When the Home Secretary's involved?
Well... Miriam Cromer's motive, Thackeray, any thoughts?
Blackmail. Percival, the victim, had some photos of her. Classical art studies. At least, that's what the graphic called them.
I do not read the gutter press, Thackeray, but according to Miriam Cromer, she posed for the photographs in the belief they were commissioned by Lord Leighton, an aide to one of his paintings, naturally. A canvas depicting the mythology of ancient Greece.
Must have been more to them than that, sir.
Why?
Miriam Cromer's statement. Here. One morning, in October 1887, Mr. Percival produced a photograph. I recognised it as one taken in Hampstead 5 years earlier. To aggravate my humiliation, he then informed me that he had purchased it in a shop in Holywell Street, which purveyed photographs of similar character. And worse.
Well, let us not blame the wretched woman, Crib. Her reputation tarnished. Obviously, she tried to salvage some part of it. But to the problem in hand. We know Mrs. Cromer was being blackmailed. She was pawning her jewellery in exchange for the pictures which Percival sold to her one at a time. Percival was constantly making demands.
Percival's manner became increasingly unendurable. However... I clung on in the knowledge that the supply of photographs could not be limitless. Then he informed me he knew where the pictures had been taken, in Hampstead, and that he intended to purchase the original plates. If I wanted them, he would sell them to me for £150. The money was beyond my means. Percival would not accept. I had no jewellery left to pawn. Nor could I confide in my husband, risk extending the blackmail to someone who could not risk scandal any more than I. His photographic business, Our reputations, our livelihoods were in Percival's hands. The only release I could envisage was that Providence might put an end to his life. Then, my tortured thoughts showed me a way. On March the 12th, while my husband was at a convention in Brighton, he's vice chairman of the Society of Portrait Photographers, I entered the studio. Mr. Percival had gone out. I unlocked the poison cabinet and removed a bottle of potassium cyanide. I emptied a quantity of the poison into a decanter of Madeira. We keep a supply for our clients, but I was aware Mr. Percival always helped himself liberally. I then returned the cyanide to the poison cabinet, relocked it, and went to visit my dressmaker. My husband had often warned me that the action of potassium cyanide was both instantaneous and fatal. So I was confident that Mr. Percival would be dead by the time I returned home. But, as I discovered...
The myth that cyanide causes instantaneous death is pure poppycock, created by writers of melodrama. 10-20 minutes may elapse before a victim expires. So Percival, instead of dying immediately, as Miriam Cromer intended, roused the household. Her plan was totally disrupted. She had intended that...
Percival's death would be taken as suicide. The cyanide bottle placed by his wine glass, the decanter washed and refilled with fresh Madeira, the body searched for any pictures, documents which would incriminate me. Only then did I plan to raise the alarm. But when I returned, a doctor was already in the studio. He recognized the symptoms of cyanide.
The aroma of bitter almonds, the blue tinge of the skin. And naturally, he asked Miriam Cromer about poisons, a variety used in the photographic process. Obviously, she had no choice, had to unlock the poison cabinet and produce the cyanide bottle. So, Thackeray.
Gov?
Well, so you're a practical thinker. What would Miriam Cromer require to carry out her action?
Require? A key.
Now, in this case, Thackeray, we have two keys. One kept by Mr. Howard Cromer, worn constantly on his watch chain. The second kept by his assistant, Josiah Percival, on a ring with his personal keys in his trouser pocket.
Her husband, Sarge. Now, being away, he wouldn't have needed his key. She could have lifted it.
But for this, Thackeray. A cutting from the photographic journal of March the 24th.
The Hon. Deacon Pratt, president, with Mr. H. Cromer, vice president at the Portrait Photographers League's meeting, Brighton, March 12th.
Yes, Sarge. Mr. Cromer. His name's been underlined. There's an arrow.
Pointing clearly to a key on Howard Cromer's watch chain.
This picture. Any idea who sent it, Gov?
No. Posted in the West Central District, addressed to the Home Secretary. Nothing else in the envelope.
Obviously someone knew about Miriam Cromer's confession, spotted the key, sent the cutting where it would do most good. Presumably, it is a key to the cabinet.
Had the picture magnified, Grib, compared with the key found on Percival's body. Both identical.
Mrs. Cromer could have made a duplicate.
Triple layers of metal, divergent faces, intricate designs, individually cut in Germany. Hardly possible.
Then she must have used Percival's key.
Possibly mislaid it.
No. Percival, as I have already stated, Thackeray, kept all his keys on a ring in his trouser pocket. Had he mislaid them, he could not have gained access to the studio. And since we know he did...
There's a further point, Thackeray. Miriam Cromer unlocked the cabinet while Percival was out. The next time she saw him, he was dead. So even if she had, by whatever means, acquired Percival's keys, there was no way she could have returned them.
But she didn't, Sarge. The doctor, he asked Mrs. Cromer about poisons.
Well?
She unlocked the poison cabinet. It stands to reason she must have had Percival's keys on her.
Sadly, no, Thackeray. The doctor's statement. He states quite categorically that he removed the keys from Percival's body, handed them to Miriam Cromer to unlock the cabinet, replaced them on the body once he had examined the cabinet.
Fear baffles me, then, Gav.
When there's a simple solution.
Really, Crib?
We ask Miriam Cromer what really happened.
Impossible.
Why? She's confessed. No reason for her to hide anything.
Yeah, but... Well, consider her situation, Crib. And also why she confessed.
Allowed her to give an account of things.
In the most favourable version possible. Respectable married woman driven in desperation to killing vicious blackmailer. Good grounds for mercy, wouldn't you say?
Still a gamble.
For her life. But if we now tell Miriam Cromer her confession is in doubt... Oh, no. No, Crib. Prison staff have enough problems calming the condemned. No, the Home Secretary would not permit such an interview merely to clarify a detail.
Yet he does require an explanation.
Naturally. Which is why, the moment he understood the significance of this cutting, he called in the Commissioner.
Sir Charles Warren?
Hmm?
Surely this is strictly a CID matter, sir.
Yes and no.
Sir?
The original investigation was handled by Inspector Waterlow.
And?
Mr. Waterlow is Uniform Branch. And since V Division considered the case straightforward, CID were not originally involved.
Until now?
A new investigation, Sergeant. Ordered by the Home Secretary.
And without reference to Assistant Commissioner Munro, the head of CID.
Police politics, Thackeray. As for Charles Warren, recall what the Pall Mall Gazette called him. This hopeless and conspicuous failure.
Bloody Sunday.
Mm.
You wasn't there, Sarge. A few pathetic blokes with families, starving, in need of jobs. Demonstrate. What does Warren do? Send in 4,000 of us, 600 guardsmen. Sickening it was. I wonder Mr. Munro came out in revolt.
It's open warfare between them now, Thackeray. Especially since Warren got his knighthood.
Well, you could see Mr. Munro, Sarge. You know, confidential like.
No. I ain't cut up for martyrdom. At least, not yet.
Well, then, what, Sarge?
We gamble, Thackeray. Same as Miriam Cromer.
I'm back, woman!
That smells good.
Starving as usual, are you?
Aye. And I consider supper as a turnpike through which one must pass in order to go to bed.
Rubbish. You and your learning now, stop it. No, stop it. Oh, now look what you've done.
Well, you can always have a new one.
Another job?
Aye, London.
A new dress from London?
Aye. And a bit more, a photo woman for you.
But you said...
Aye, but they don't know me in London. It'll just be another bloke having his photo took. And I know just the man to do it.
Howard Cromer, Sarge? I could have interviewed him last night.
After Inspector Waterlow?
No.
Besides, I'm doing you a favour.
You are?
Two trips to Kew, Thackeray. Adds to the expenses.
Oh, tar, Sarge. But, well, it's Molly, my landlady. She had two tickets for the Haymarket to see Lottie Piper.
Who?
Lottie Piper, Sarge. The toast of London. The mascot of a play. They say it'll run for years.
Gives you plenty of time to see her then, doesn't it? Now, Waterlow. Getting anything?
I made some notes, Sarge. But Waterlow, he ain't changed. When I told him I was at the Yard and that the statistics branch was interested in his classic investigation...
Classic investigation? Hardly, Thackeray.
A lesser officer would have called in the Yard, sir.
And let them take the credit? This may be a minor division, Constable, but I am still capable of detection.
Still a tricky situation, Gav.
Oh, extremely, Thackeray. Especially as the murderer had to be a member of the Cromer household. Servants all had alibis. Howard Cromer was in Brighton. Only other possibility left was Mrs. Cromer.
And the evidence?
Problem. Respectable woman of genteel class. Neighbours like Major General Blair Arrington and the Duchess of Cambridge. Could hardly question them.
Well, I'd have gone back to the servants.
Just what I was coming to, Thackeray. Question them again. discreetly, of course, learned Miriam Cromer disliked Percival, that they argued considerably, but only when Mr. Cromer was away, and that Miriam was always reduced to tears. So much so, she always left the house afterwards.
Fresh air, Gov? A walk on the green?
She walked all right, Thackeray, but not on Kew Green.
The river?
No. Brentford.
How did you get onto that, Gov?
Smart detection, Constable. Discovered Josiah Percival was heavily in debt.
Bookies?
One. Harry Cobb in Richmond. Percival owed him £70. Had done for over a year. Suddenly, the debt was reduced. Payments always made the day after one of his arguments with Mrs. Cromer.
You reckon she was paying him off?
Obviously. But where was she getting the money?
A bank.
It seems you are not cognizant with women of class, Thackeray. They seldom carry cash. Their bank accounts, their bills are settled quarterly by their husbands. Ergo, to pay Percival £12-15 at a time, Miriam Cromer had to obtain the money from somewhere.
Oh, my moneylender.
Pawnbroker. And that, Thackeray, is where local knowledge comes in. The nearest pawnbroker to Kew Green is in Brentford. So I checked. Discovered she'd been pledging her jewellery.
So you concluded Percival was blackmailing her?
Dates on the pawn tickets, Percival's payments to the bookie. They suggested it. Only thing I couldn't fathom was what he had on her.
The dirty pictures.
Oh, last thing to enter my mind, Thackeray. A lady, daughter of a mayor of Hampstead? No. No, if a well-bred woman has a secret, 9 out of 10, it's a lover. And I'd have wagered a month's salary it was her solicitor.
Simon Allingham.
Yes. He's more of her generation than Howard Cromer. She's 16 years younger than her husband. Huh. And Allingham's connection goes back well before the marriage. The same social set, but he's the only one who stayed.
Yes, Cromer's brief.
Even so, still think the connection goes deeper. But it's of no importance, not now she's confessed. Yet her motive, the pictures. Confess? I'm still surprised.
The pictures, Gov. Did any of them show up?
Want to see them, Thackeray? Sorry, none were found.
You found none in Percival's belongings?
No. Recall Miriam Cromer's confession. The ones Percival sold her, she destroyed. As for the original plates, who knows? They certainly weren't in his lodgings. Well, if there's nothing else...
It's just Miriam Cromer, Gov. What's she like?
Statistics, Constable. Taking the job of Mike literally, aren't you?
Literally? No, not that, Gov. Well, I've never met the lady, and she sounds a rare one.
Rare? Oh, that she is, Thackeray. Exquisite looks. Totally in command. The way she stood up in court. The judge was paler than she was. To be candid, I hope she'll get a reprieve.
Depends on the Home Secretary.
Not much chance there, Thackeray. Premeditated murder, a full confession. Her intent, to make it look like suicide. All planned in cold blood, with a total absence of pity.
As you see, gentlemen, Miriam, a stunningly beautiful woman.
Taken by you, Mr. Cromer?
Yes, Sergeant, last year, to celebrate our second wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 years, that is all we had together. And every minute, precious.
Quite understand, sir.
She enslaved me, and I suppose that sounds odd from a man of my age, but... forgive me, gentlemen, I talk incessantly about her.
I wouldn't apologise about that, sir, especially as it is Mrs. Cromer we're here to talk about.
Ah, yes, well, this will speak far more objectively than I, Constable. A photographic record of our time together. It is my most precious possession. Now there, Miriam's family, all 7 of them, came down from Hampstead to sit for a family portrait.
Quite a way, sir. Your reputation must be widely known.
Mr. Kilpatrick, my wife's late father, saw my work reproduced in the Tatler.
Mm.
I did not know until much later that it was Miriam who had shown in the periodical. And Miriam, taken the following week. I was so entranced that I asked her father to let me take an individual portrait.
These are not important.
Could be, sir. Especially to Thackeray. He was stationed in the area.
Oh, Hampstead Heath, Sarge. Easter Monday fair?
Whit Monday, Constable. 1885. Some of the set I mixed with before my marriage. There's Miriam.
And the gent in the blazer, with his arm round your wife?
Simon Allingham, my solicitor. Tried to put the photographer off his stroke. Succeeded, too. As you can see, the picture's overexposed.
Mr. Allingham, sir. Known him some time, have you?
Oh, 10 years or so. Certainly before he qualified, we hunted together, the Hertfordshire. The only one from the set I kept up with. He's been a tower of strength these last terrible months.
Lucky to have a friend like him. Pages seem to have stuck together.
Allow me, Sergeant. Spot of glue on the mount. There. No harm done.
Your wedding picture?
Yes. Miriam always complained it was the only picture in which I appeared.
Obviously you didn't take it, then.
Hardly, Sergeant. No. Arranged for Percival to do it. Not a very good job either, but he was fairly new in my employ.
Judging by the pictures, your courtship was brief.
But intense. These pictures represent only a fraction of our activities. In 5 months, we did more than I'd done in 5 years. Ascot, Henley, theatre, opera, every coming-out party in North London.
A might rigorous go.
Yes, but necessary. I was 40, Miriam 23. Convention may have called for a longer engagement, but, in the circumstances.
You were old enough to know your own mind.
Quite. And Miriam knew hers. She convinced me I was the only man alive she'd consider marrying. Made a young man of me. Don't look too bad in a morning suit now, do I?
Wouldn't have said you was 40, sir.
No. Good of you to say so, Constable. Young Allingham again. He was best man. Miriam on a wagonette. Took them with a Ruth Eureka hand camera, not my best work.
Still very passable, sir.
Thank you.
Your business... Reckon the unfortunate events must have hit you hard.
Yes, but I'm not short of funds. There was a substantial legacy from Miriam's father, which we have not touched.
Then you won't give up the trade?
Trade? I'd hardly use that description, Constable.
I'm sorry, Gavin.
This is my art, and yes, I shall continue to practice.
In Kew, sir?
That depends.
It is home ground.
Well, only during the past 4 years, Sergeant, but this studio does represent years of tiresome work. But I progressed. The locality's improving with my fortunes.
And to employing assistants. Was Josiah Percival the first?
The second, actually. But the first with any knowledge of photography. Oh. The worst mistake I ever made. As an assistant, competent. And I knew he helped himself to my wine, possibly used my stationery for personal correspondence. But it was quite beyond imagination he was persecuting my wife. And she could not even confide in me.
Can hardly believe she was frightened of you, sir. From what you tell me, you gave her no cause to fear.
Never.
No misunderstandings?
Not of any consequence. No, she had some minor difficulty adjusting to marriage, the first 6 months or so, but that was my fault.
Why, sir?
I lacked imagination, Constable. For months we'd led an extremely active social life. After our marriage, I wanted Miriam to myself.
Boredom set in?
In a way. But she found things to do. Arranging flowers, filling the decanters in the studio. But there were still hours when she was unoccupied. I did my best, Sergeant. Now the possibility of losing her. The Home Secretary, do you...
I've no idea what he thinks, sir. Now, if you don't find it too distressing, I'd like to look at your studio.
Fit for the Queen herself, eh, Sergeant?
Impressive. Of course, I'm no authority on photography, but I don't underestimate its use, especially in photographing known villains. Don't compare with your work, of course. That chiffonier, would that be where the Madeira is kept?
Yes. Oh, and do have a drink. Sherry or Madeira?
Sarge? No cause to remind me we're on duty, Constable. But would like a glance inside, if I may?
Oh, of course. Yes.
The decanters. Always kept locked in here, are they?
Unless clients are expected. Then they are placed on the table.
Did Mr. Percival have a key to the cabinet?
To everything in the studio, Sergeant.
But your wife was responsible for filling the decanters.
Her regular duty. I have a consignment of wine delivered each Monday at noon.
Each decanter holds a bottle and a half?
About that. Why?
No reason, sir. Just seems a deal of wine for 1 week.
I have a great many clients, Sergeant.
But on the Monday Mr. Percival died, no clients were expected.
No. No, I had a photographic convention to attend.
Ah, yes, in Brighton. What time did you leave the house?
Leave? Early, certainly before 10.
To catch a particular train?
No, the services to Brighton are very frequent.
And the convention, what time did that begin?
At 11.
Well, that accounts for the early start, then. Naturally, you arrived on time.
At the time I was expected. if there's nothing else...
No, sir. No. Except for the poison cabinet. Just a glance.
Yes, it is over there, Sergeant.
Very solid. Mind if I look inside?
The cyanide bottle is no longer there, Sergeant.
Even so, the key, if you wouldn't mind. Keeping the key on your watch chain. Capital idea. No risk of mislaying it. May I?
Yes.
Ah. Quite something, ain't it, Thackeray?
My word.
And? Locks, automatically. Amazing.
I had it imported from Germany. I'm very mindful of the dangers of poison.
Obvious, no negligence here, sir. Rock solid. Understand, only two keys, yours and Percival's, will open this.
Yes.
On the day you were in Brighton, when Percival died, where was your key?
Mine. Here, where it always is, on my watch chain. Ah. Forgot you borrowed it.
Returned with thanks, sir.
Thank you. But I assure you, on the day Percival died, this key never left my person, Sergeant. Is there some difficulty over the key?
No, sir. No difficulty at all.
Good morning, Cromer. Mrs. Cromer. You're sleeping better, I hope?
I have seen the doctor, sir, been weighed, measured, again, advised of the regulations, and learned to live without privacy. I still manage to sleep.
Well, I asked to see you because I have received a communication. You will recall that when I last spoke to you, I asked that you reconcile yourself to the sentence of the law. You have tried to follow that advice.
I have, sir.
The Sheriff of London sent me this. The warrant of execution. To take place a week from today at 8 in the morning. Would you like to sit down, Mrs. Cromer?
No.
It is simply a stage in the legal procedure. But it does require I move you into a different part of the prison, a different cell. But the same officers will be in attendance.
This cell, it's much larger.
Needs to be for three, and a visitor sometimes. Oh, look through here, love. There, the exercise yard, yours exclusive. You can have a constitutional there any old time. And I've good news for you.
Yes?
Visitors. You'll be able to see them in here.
One of the perks of the CC.
The CC? What's that?
Ah.
Do you play cards, Cromer?
No, and you haven't answered my question, miss.
If you really want to know, Cromer, it's the name we give this cell. C for cell, follow? And the first C could stand for cards. But seeing you don't play games, we can call it the VC. How about that, Your Majesty?
It's a pleasure to sit, Sarge. Could do with a swipe, though.
On your own time, Thackeray. Now, what did you get?
Footing around Brentford and Kew. Sore feet. checked all the statements, Waterlow's files, saw the pawnbroker Mrs. Cromer did business with, the doctor, spent 2 hours quizzing the staff at Cromer's.
And?
Nothing. Waterlow's statement, couldn't fault it at all. And you, Sarge?
Me? Been up there. The portrait photographer's lead.
Thought they was in Brighton.
Only a convention of members, Thackeray. Their premises are in the Strand. Well, ain't you interested in what I find out?
Of course, Sarge. Something about Mr. Cromer, is it?
A letter. Dated the day before Percival died. Swiped it from their records.
My dear Thorne, this is to advise you I am prevented by another commitment from attending the first session of the AGM tomorrow. In tendering my apology, I assure you I will be present after lunch. Sincerely, H. Cromer.
Well?
Nothing in Waterlow's report about this, Sarge. But it don't necessarily incriminate Mr. Cromer.
Possibly not, but his other commitment does indicate he wasn't in Brighton that morning. Destroys an alibi we considered cast iron.
So you reckon he could have done it?
Miriam? Howard? The same motive applies. Even more so if Mr. Cromer discovered his wife was being blackmailed. Blind devotion, ambition. Dangerous combination, Thackeray. And I reckon anyone threatening his wife or career wouldn't get much mercy.
Well, Mrs. Cromer's confession, it'd have to be false.
Then we'd better recheck it, Thackeray. Test the blackmail story.
To the finest collection in the world, sir. Now, I trust having seen our secrets, you will accept our invitation.
Your letter said nothing about brass.
Brass? Ah, we do not normally pay our celebrities, Mr. Berry. Well, how can we? However, since you are supplying certain details and garments, shall we say 25? Guineas, of course.
I must also be satisfied as to likeness.
Oh, the result will be like looking in a mirror.
Aye, but this scar, I don't fancy being the object of loathing.
You need have no anxiety, sir. And even if by some mischance you were taken for a murderer, it would not excite the emotion you describe.
No?
Far from it, Mr. Berry. Tussaud's waxworks are regarded with awe. And this may surprise you. The gentleman whom you will be replacing, when we removed his effigy, have you any idea what we found in his jacket pockets? Lace-edge perfume kerchiefs, placed there by adoring lady visitors.
Ah, women. My sister, sit and think while on earth some hours are left of thee.
An admirable sentiment and most appropriate in the circumstances. I had no idea you were a man of letters, Mr. Berry.
Oh, read a bit. And Vicar does like a bit of variety.
Then, forgive my curiosity, sir. Lay preaching does not quite tie in with your line of work.
Justice? And to make sure his work is done?
Well, and now to sculpting the model.
Aye, that. Now, I don't suppose you could make an extra, you know, just the head, for me, personal like.
Why?
Well, it's the wife. She's always pestering for a likeness, so, well.
I've no wish to disappoint a lady, Mr. Berry, but...
I understand. Well, she'll just have to be content with photo. So I'll be grateful for directions. Best way to get to Kew.
Sarge? Here, Sarge!
No need to shout, Thackeray.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cribb. Hey, blimey, where'd you find these?
Confiscated photographs, Thackeray. One titled owner. Hundreds more in those boxes. But not a single one of Miriam Cromer.
Same as Holywell Street, Sarge, the dealers. No one's seen anything that resembles her.
You believe them?
The way I pressured... Nah... If they'd seen anything, someone would have cracked.
Well, suppose we better call it a night. Problem, Thackeray, is where do we go from here?
How about Hampstead?
Hampstead? Expenses going to your head, Thackeray?
No, just using it, Sarge.
Look, here. William Cromer's confession.
Some half a dozen photographs were taken, and for certain of them it was necessary to be unclothed. I can only account for my naivety by stating that the lady, now deceased, who effected the arrangements, was a founder member of the Highgate Literary and Artistic Society. The two friends who agreed to take part with me were equally as naive. As I am, Thackeray.
The two friends, Sarge, they could still reside in Hampstead. Should be possible to trace them through the society.
My society, Sergeant, and that woman, to speak of them in the same breath.
Simply asking one or two questions, Ma.
Liar.
Ma?
Vile falsehood, Sergeant. And for the Times to publish her confession. Vicious falsehoods. You would think my society existed simply to debauch innocent girls. Mr. Huntleby, will you control those children?
I need to kill Mrs. Davenant immediately. Children, now you heard. Children!
Huntleby is sadly lacking in control. Why I ever became a school governor.
Children, be silent now, all of you, this instant.
You see, Sergeant, firmness, the only way.
For you, ma'am. Personally, I prefer persuasion. Now, Miriam Cromer was a member of your society. Do you recall her?
No.
Well, ma'am, it was 6 years ago, and her name, it was Miriam Kilpatrick. A photograph, ma'am, to assist?
My memory requires no assistance, Constable.
I'm sure, ma'am. However, as the sergeant here will tell you, she mentions your society. Two friends who joined with her.
The total membership was over 80, Constable.
A real cultured part of the capital, ma'am. Wouldn't get more than half a dozen to a meeting where I live.
Then you underestimate Dorothea Davenant, my man. My temperance meetings draw audiences in excess of 100, even in localities as benighted as Bermondsey.
I live there myself, ma'am. One place the blue ribbon goes down well.
My membership list covered almost the whole of North London.
And of course you still have it.
Have it?
Your membership list.
No. Certain malicious people accused me of self-aggrandizement. The thought was so despicable, I resigned. Told them to manage the society in their own way. Naturally, it ceased to exist.
So, memories apart, there's no record.
Memory... What is it now, Mr. Hundleby?
I could not help overhearing this gentleman, Mrs. Davenant, but, well... I was a loyal member of the society for over 3 years, so if proof is needed...
Sir?
I have a photograph in my study. It commemorates a pilgrimage to Well Walk. John Keats often walked there. And since we had just discovered the romantic poets, some of the group posed for a photograph.
And this was taken when?
When? Yes, the summer of 1882.
These ladies here, on the left, do you recall them?
It is 6 years, Sergeant, and sunlight has faded the photograph somewhat. No, I fear not.
Pity. However, something does occur to me.
Sergeant!
I won't harm the picture, sir. There. The subject's names. Common practice with photographers, writing them on the back of a picture. Ah, Miss J. Honeycutt, Miss C. Piper, and who'd believe it, Mr. S. Allingham and Miss M. Kilpatrick.
You've discovered something?
Possibly, sir. And since we now have some names, ring any bells, do they?
No. Oh, yes, umbrellas.
Sir?
Honeycutt kept an umbrella shop in Flask Walk. This girl was his daughter.
Was?
Yeah. Judith, that's her name, committed suicide. Honeycutt passed on a few months later.
Judith, early 20s. Must have had some reason to take her life.
She was ancient, Sergeant. 3 months, as I recall. But to swallow poison.
Poison?
Potassium cyanide. Apparently it was readily available at a place of employment.
Would that have been a photographic studio?
Matter of fact, it was. In West Hempstead. Run by a chap called, Duquesne. Julian Duquesne. The young lady was employed as his assistant.
So, three young ladies' crib. And you believe they posed for the indecent photographs?
Marion Cromer's confession does say three, sir.
And one of them, Judith Honeycutt, is dead. So?
Not just dead, Gov. Poisoned. By potassium cyanide.
The coincidence had not escaped me, Thackeray. However, beware of coincidence. It is a snare, Constable, a snare.
If there were only one.
You holding something back, Crib?
Just a theory, sir.
Well, then expound it, Crib, expound it.
Well, seeing I don't hold with coincidence either, sir, felt it necessary to interview this Mr. Duquesne. Clear up the matter of Miss Honeycutt's suicide. Found it sewed up. Left no forwarding address.
Hardly surprising in the circumstances.
Oh, agree completely, sir. But Duquesne's neighbours did provide an excellent description of the gentleman. That added one more coincidence. Confirm what I've been thinking.
Yes?
That maybe Julian Duquesne had moved his business to Kew.
Kew? Howard Cromer? Oh, ridiculous.
The descriptions match. And if we consider it from Duquesne's point of view, the suicide destroys his business. Forces him to sell. But he has sufficient cash to start up again, so he moves to another well-heeled area, Kew. Across the river, and far enough away from Hampstead, to avoid scandal following him. Then, to make absolutely certain, he changes his name, becomes Howard Cromer.
Naturally, you have more to this theory.
Yes, sir. Cromer's attitude. People of his type, ones who've come up in society, don't take kindly to visiting coppers. Cromer bent over backwards to cooperate. But some of his statements could only be described as misleading.
Example?
His trip to Brighton. Which train he caught? He hedged that. Just said he left before 10. Yet we know he wasn't expected at the convention till after lunch. His letter to the Photographic Society.
Could be a perfectly innocent explanation there.
And for his photograph album?
What?
His most prized possession? He went out of his way to show it and give the impression that the first time he met Miriam was in April 1885, when she came to the studio with her parents.
And you know different?
I reckon it was some 3 years earlier.
Your reason?
The album again. Two pages were stuck together. Cromer had to prise them apart. Said something about the glue on the mount. But the pictures were of his wedding, taken over 2.5 years earlier. Hardly think that glue would stay tacky that long.
Just get to the point, Crib.
I believe that photograph album was compiled shortly before my visit to illustrate a story. The one he wanted me to believe.
All that deduced from one speck of glue? Oh, really, Crib?
Oh, I've a deal more, sir. Handelby's photo?
Back to the three ladies, are we?
With Mr. Allingham, Cromer's oldest friend, standing right between them. And if Simon Allingham knew Miriam in 1882, why not Howard Cromer?
That, Crib, is pure speculation. An old picture, faded. How can we be sure it is the same Allingham? Post hoc ergo propter hoc. And as you may not have Latin, I...
My reason is not based on fallacy, sir.
Oh. Well, anyway, it is quite obvious that you have persuaded yourself that Cromer is not what he purports. So you fit certain facts simply to justify your prejudice. Maybe Cromer did change his name. People in trade often do, once they move up in society.
And Miss Honeycutt's suicide, Gov?
A tragedy, Constable, and all the more reason for Cromer to be evasive about his past.
He had no cause to be evasive about Brighton, Gov.
Unless he was at home when Percival died.
Oh, surely you do not suspect Mr. Cromer.
He had motive and possible opportunity.
Miriam Cromer had both, and has confessed.
Yes, but Cromer had the key. She didn't.
Hmm. Well, if Cromer was home, someone, the domestics, must have seen him. You question them, Thackeray?
They saw nothing, Gov. Besides, Cromer don't allow them upstairs after 9 in the morning.
So, Crib, nothing but convenient theory.
Could easily add the evidence, sir.
Then what stops you, Crib?
Time, sir. Miriam Cromer is to hang on Monday. To get a reprieve, my evidence must be with the commissioner by tomorrow night. With more time, extra men, I reckon I could prove Cromer's involvement. Seeing I have neither, there's only one way to get at the truth. Interview Mrs. Cromer. Try to break her confession. In the interests of justice, of course.
Justice had its opportunity, Sergeant. Now all the Home Secretary is interested in is the key to the poison cabinet. In short, you are simply required to find out how Miriam Cromer did it. No more, no less. Do you follow?
Miriam, my love.
Save your love, Howard.
But
just sit down and tell me what has been happening outside.
Yes. There is a public meeting tomorrow in Richmond Green. A speaker from the Howard Association is coming. I am certain thousands of people will be present.
Really? What else?
A petition. 13,000 signatures. It will be delivered to the Home Office this afternoon, and there is a veritable avalanche of sympathy.
Something else has happened.
Well, I have no wish to raise your expectations, my dear.
For pity's sake, then, tell me. I must know, Howard.
Well, this week I received two visitors.
Well?
One was a detective, Sergeant Cribb. He came last Sunday, questioned me about your confession, asked to see the studio.
Naturally, you cooperated.
Naturally. I showed him our photograph album. He even wanted a photograph of you.
For what purpose?
Oh, he did not say, my dear, but he selected my favourite. You in the black gown, looking so magnificent.
I was not feeling magnificent.
It is the image that matters, my love. And whatever your innermost thoughts, the result was superb. Oh, he expressed such deep interest in all the pictures.
I am more interested in his questions.
Well, they covered everything. My work, how long I'd been in queue, Percival, where I was at the time he died.
And your reply?
I told him I was in Brighton.
You told him?
Yes. No. I believe he asked about which train I had taken.
And your answer?
Oh, you know, my dearest, how vague I am.
But he was not hostile.
Oh, no, my love, sharp. But I suspect that was simply his manner.
Then he left satisfied.
He should have been.
Your opinion is to the contrary?
Only because of the other development.
The second visitor?
Yes. His visit yesterday leads me to conclude the inquiry is continuing. How he would have amused you, my dear. A large, stolid fellow, bearded with a deep scar down his face. And his clothes, frayed cuffs, shiny suit. This is the joke. He was wearing regulation police boots.
And what did he want?
I asked him that. Nobody said. Well, I'm here to have a photo took, present for wife in Bradford. Imagine, Scotland Yard sending round a buffoon like that. But of course I cooperated.
And did he also ask questions?
Well, not so many as the sergeant, but then he couldn't be as direct. Well, it'd have given his game away. Mainly, he was interested in where Percival's body was found. The poison cabinet.
Nothing more definite?
Well, I showed him. Told him everything. Even took his photograph. There.
I would say he was more brutish than acute.
You must take heart, Miriam. These developments must be significant.
What is Simon's opinion?
He agrees with me.
And his advice?
Quite simply, to wait.
No. The second detective disturbs me. It suggests incompetence.
So?
We cannot wait until someone sees sense. It may not happen in time. You must talk to Simon.
Immediately, my dear. Depend upon it.
I am compelled to. Ask Simon to visit me tomorrow. And Howard?
Dearest?
I shall not expect to see you again. You do understand?
Completely, my dear. Completely. Goodbye, my dearest.
Goodbye. Howard, I am grateful.
Gratitude, Thackeray. It's not much to expect.
I know I'm late, Sarge, but... Well, last night...
You preferred comic opera to sleep.
It wasn't that, Sarge. It's just that Molly Dawson... Well, she does press a bit.
No more, Thackeray. Now, the duties for today.
Miss C. Piper.
Exactly. Now, we know she was a witness at Judith Honeycutt's inquest. Last known address, as reported in the local paper, 23 Kiddenpore Avenue.
You won't find her there, Sarge.
I know that already. Went up last night. Place is full of Russian immigrants. As for the postal directory, know how many sea pipers are resident in London? Catherine, Celia, Cynthia?
Try Lottie, Sarge.
Lottie does not begin with C, Thackeray.
No, Gov, but Charlotte does. And Molly Dawson, well, you know how many scrapbooks she has? Well, she says Charlotte Piper lived in Hampstead till she had a ruckus with her family over her acting, broke away and changed her name to Lottie.
Another coincidence, Thackeray.
No, not this time, Todd. That's why I went to the theatre. I had a word with a lady. She admitted she was the third girl in those photographs.
Yes, I took my clothes off for the pictures, Sergeant, and why not?
Well, miss, they were...
Absurdly tame, Sergeant. Well, nothing you would hand out at Sunday school, but they'd hardly set Holywell Street on fire. I've seen far worse in the National Gallery. Have a drink, Sergeant.
Oh, I... thank you.
Being on the stage, I'm obviously beyond redemption. To think Miriam actually poisoned a man over them.
How did you first meet Miriam Cromer?
We were children together, but as we grew older, we met less.
You did both join the Literary Society?
We wanted to be girls of the period, darling. And life in Hampstead is so very confined.
For Judith Honeycutt as well?
She was a kindred spirit, darling. Yes, we joined together.
How did the business of the photographs arise, miss?
Exactly as Miriam described it. One of the members, a Mrs. Rowlesbury, apparently was a friend of Sir Frederick Leighton. She appealed to Miriam, persuaded us, and, well, you know the rest.
So it began as an adventure.
Exactly. And since there were three of us, it seemed safe.
The photographer, he too was a member of the society?
Yes.
Julian Duquesne.
That was his name until it became inconvenient. Have you met him?
As Howard Cromer?
Well, Julian was right for Hampstead. Howard is assuredly Q Green. But since you know him...
10 minutes, Miss Parker.
Oh, darling, curtain time. I do have to change.
I understand, miss. There is just one small matter.
Oh?
Judith Honeycutt, you appeared at the inquest.
As a witness. And I have nothing to add to what I told the coroner.
But you would not have asked my questions, miss. I need to know how Miss Honeycutt came to be in Duquesne's employment. It is important.
This is a free country, Sergeant. She went to work for
me. Miss Piper, Lottie, Judith is dead, Miriam in a death cell. You are the only one who knows about these photographic sittings. Why, one girl went to work for Duquesne and another married him. Did he blackmail them?
Blackmail? Oh, Sergeant, it's too delicious. You do need lessons in female psychology.
Oh, I'm always ready to learn.
It's very simple, Sergeant. We were all in love with him. And Julian, poor darling, was at a total loss. Hounded by three starry-eyed females scarcely out of school. He even tried to solve the problem by introducing us to his friends.
Like Simon Allingham?
Yes. He was smitten by Miriam. But she, well, she wanted Julian. Her self-esteem demanded it, and gradually she succeeded. Well, when I realized Miriam's power, I gave up. Judith, too. Then, one day, a few months later, Judith calmly told us she changed her job. Become Julian's assistant.
How did she manage that?
Sheer resourcefulness. She used the one advantage she had over Miriam and me.
Which was?
Her background. She was in employment. So when Julian advertised for an assistant, she was able to apply. Convinced him of the advantages of employing a female.
So, she had all day to work her charms on Julian. Left Miriam at home to fret.
Oh, give Miriam more credit than that, Sergeant. If Julian was taking on an assistant, he could delegate the mundane work, spend more time selling himself, entering photographic competitions. Naturally, he would require a model.
So while Judith was in the dark room, Miriam and Julian would be out with the camera.
And picnic basket. Miriam was triumphant. And she had the relish of knowing poor Judith would be developing the pictures. But Judith didn't retire that easily. The day before she died, she invited me to tea. Told me she was engaged to Julian, and that they intended to tell Miriam that evening. I warned her that Miriam would be incensed, not to make it a long engagement, because Miriam was not the kind of woman to give up. Then Judith said a strange thing. that Julian didn't see Miriam as a woman. Just a face to be photographed, not kissed. I said maybe he looked at all women that way. Judith just laughed, said she knew different, and that she was carrying the proof.
Julian's child? You didn't tell this to the coroner?
It seemed kinder not to. Judith was dead, Julian up to his eyes in problems. It wouldn't have altered the verdict. But Julian's reputation, well, he'd have been ruined forever.
Judith's death? How do you account for it?
I couldn't. The day before, she was so jubilant, unworried about her condition. The next thing was, she was dead. All I could suppose was that she had told Julian about the baby, that he'd changed his mind about marrying her, that the shock caused her to take poison.
Do you still believe that?
No. I believe Judith was murdered.
By Miriam Cromer?
She's confessed to one murder. And she could easily have killed Judith. She was a regular visitor to the studio. If Julian told her about the engagement on the Thursday evening, she could have gone to the studio on Friday. Julian was out in the afternoon. And if, as I suspect, Miriam gave the impression she was there to congratulate Judith, they would have made tea in the studio. The cyanide was on an open shelf. It would have been easy to add some to Judith's cup and then watch her die. It is a dreadful thing to say about someone you've known since you were 10 years old, but what other explanation is there?
Tittle-tattle from a low comedy actress crib, and to deliver it here in my club.
Miss Parker is the daughter of a member of the Stock Exchange, sir.
Then he has my sympathy. And you, Sergeant, I asked you simply for a written report. What do you bring me? Your adventures at the Haymarket. Have you the report? No. And why not?
Because I have another development, sir.
Another coincidence?
No, sir. Fact. Tell him, Thackeray.
Well, Sergeant Cribbs sent me to Kew, Gov.
For what purpose, Thackeray?
To bring Mr. Cromer to Scotland Yard.
You lost your senses.
Simply protecting both our interests, sir.
Then I await your explanation, Sergeant.
I needed to put certain questions to Mr. Cromer.
Such as?
Why he concealed facts. That he'd known Mrs. Cromer before he'd moved to Kew Green. That he had withheld vital information at Miss Honeycutt's inquest, and that he lied about his movements the morning Josiah Percival was murdered. I considered his answers, no matter where I questioned him, would require certain decisions, either from Sir Charles Warren or Mr. Munro. Either way, I would be caught in the middle. But having him at the yard, in your office, well.
Well, what did you get out of Cromer?
Nothing, Gov. He'd scarpered.
Gone? Where?
Seems he visited his wife, returned to Kew, packed and vanished. Servants weren't told anything, but I did find a copy of Bradshaw on his bed. Reckon he's headed for one of the Channel ports.
Then we must stop him, Crib.
Telegraphed his description already. All the ports.
And as soon as I got the news, I visited Mr. Allingham.
And?
An arrogant young man. But he finally admitted he'd spoken to Cromer at noon today. Wouldn't give details.
Damned impertinence. I'll have him on an obstruction charge.
Allingham knows his rights, sir. Nor was he surprised Cromer had disappeared. Said it was due to police intimidation.
Intimidation? Crib, you didn't use violence.
Me? No, sir. But I cannot speak for the other officer.
What other officer?
The one who visited Park Lodge. Interviewed Cromer.
What?
According to Allingham, a man visited Park Lodge on the pretext of having his photograph taken. His manner, the interest he showed in the details of Percival's murder, indicated he was a detective. I spent God knows how many hours building up a case, having Constable Thackeray foot-slogging round London, interviewing witnesses, so I can have a face-to-face with Cromer, and then this nincompoop puts the fear of God up him, sends him running. Appears things have been happening, sir, I know nothing about. I believe I have a right to be told if another officer is sent to interrogate a witness.
But I know nothing of this, Crib.
Then it has to be the Commissioner.
Sir Charles? No, I'm sure he would not have... And even if he did, it is not up to us to question. What we must decide is how to proceed.
Only one way to proceed, sir. You must see the Commissioner.
Oh, good heavens, Crib. You believe it necessary?
Crucial, sir. He must give me permission to interview Mrs. Cromer.
Howard missing? Then it is nearly over.
Yes, nearly over, Miriam. And you have been so marvellous.
And when they find him, Simon?
They cannot detain him without a charge, and as I told the officer who visited me, Howard is under no obligation to notify the police of his movements.
I understand. The detective who told you about Howard?
What about him?
Which one was he? The sergeant or the man with the scar, the one Howard photographed?
It was the sergeant. Why?
Because the other man was here this morning.
To question you?
No. I was in the exercise yard. I happened to look up and saw him. He was at a window, staring at me. The moment he realised I had seen him, he stepped back, disappeared.
Obviously he hadn't seen you at the trial, but such morbid curiosity. I shall make a formal complaint.
It's not important, Simon. Oh, why could things not have been different?
They will be. I promise.
Kind, kind Simon. No one can turn a clock back. Hampstead. If only I had not lacked judgment. And Howard. Why did I marry him?
You were in love with him.
Please, Simon. You of all people must have noticed that Howard... the coming together in marriage.
You do not have to explain, Miriam.
We entered into marriage without knowing each other, Simon. To Howard, I was something between a child and a piece of porcelain, to be guarded, cherished, and photographed. If Howard had made me unhappy from malice, I could have rebelled, but a kinder, more solicitous man does not exist. All I could do was persevere, convince myself it was not the greatest mistake of my life.
Oh, Miriam,
please, there's not much more. I believe even now I could face life with Howard. If he'd been as honest as he was kind.
What do you mean?
He concealed the truth about Judith.
But you knew, we all did.
Except how she died.
You know the verdict. The way it affected Howard.
Yes. And you were a true friend to him. You can be frank, Simon. You told him what to say at the inquest.
What in God's name are you saying, Miriam?
Howard told me everything. Confessed. In our marriage bed. That he was responsible for Judith's condition. Knowing Judith, I doubt that was true, but Howard believed it. And when she told him, threatened a scandal unless they married, he panicked. Poisoned her.
Howard? Poisoned Judith?
Now, perhaps you can understand. Imagine how it feels, being the wife of... Suddenly, Howard was a stranger. You must have noticed, Simon.
How could I not? This? No, I...
And you knew the marriage was wrong. Even suggested it in your own way. Your glances, the way you brushed your hand against mine, that I should reconsider. And I was so blind. Oh, Simon, why did you not speak?
It would have made no difference, my dear. Not then.
And now, knowing the woman I have become, would you?
Oh, there is nothing I would rather wish for. No, we must forget such thoughts. There is no way in which Howard would...
There is, Simon. When the police arrest Howard...
They would have to pardon you first.
Then Howard would be brought to trial, as I was.
Unless he convinced them of his innocence.
Suppose he was unable to convince them.
Do you realise what you're saying?
Yes. That I would be free in the true sense of the word.
No. No, not that way, Miriam. I could not.
He is guilty of murder, Simon. Judith. She died in agony, remember?
But that...
I would not ask you to say anything untrue, Simon. Only to keep silent if the moment comes.
silence, Mrs. Cromer, is your right. Nor are you obliged to see us. But we require certain information, if it does not add to your distress.
If I thought that, Mr. Jowett, I would not have agreed to speak with you. However, I am curious.
My thanks, ma'am.
But I insist my solicitor, Mr. Allingham, is present.
He's waiting outside, Mrs. Cromer. Proceed, Thackeray.
Mr. Allingham, in here, please.
My assistant, Sergeant Cribb, will put the questions. Sergeant?
It's about your confession, ma'am. Certain details, minor points that don't quite square up. So I'd like to ask, do you stand up to everything in the document?
I caution you, Sergeant. This affidavit was sworn before a magistrate. I will not allow you to impute perjury.
I am not here to trap you, ma'am. Be no point. Nor do I go in for trickery.
No, Sergeant. You leave that to others.
Others?
The other man, Sergeant. The one who went to my husband, pretended he wanted a photograph taken.
Believe me, Mrs. Cromer, until Mr. Allingham told me, I knew nothing of him. And I assure you, whoever he is not a policeman.
Then how is he allowed into Newgate?
You saw him here?
While I was exercising. He was watching me from an upstairs window.
Oh, naturally, I will make an inquiry, but...
But in the meantime, I suggest we confine ourselves to the affidavit.
Then I'll get to the point, ma'am. Shortly after your conviction, this photograph, cut from a photographic journal, was received at the Home Office. Your husband in Brighton on the day Mr. Percival was killed. Note the arrow pointing to the key on his watch chain.
I do not see the significance, Sergeant.
It is one of the keys to the poison cabinet, ma'am. The other, as you know, was kept by Mr. Percival. Now, on page 4 of your statement, you said, I unlocked the poison cabinet and removed a bottle of potassium cyanide.
I know what I said, Sergeant.
Exactly, ma'am. And that is the problem. If one key was with your husband, the other on the body of the man you claim to have murdered, how did you unlock the cabinet? Where did you obtain a key?
My client does not wish to add anything to the statement she has already volunteered.
We have also another problem, ma'am. Your husband, we know he was not in Brighton on the morning Percival was killed.
Nothing in Mrs. Cromer's statement describes her husband's movement, Sergeant. Indeed, it would be impossible for her to supply that information.
When I saw Mr. Cromer, he seemed somewhat hesitant about his travel arrangements, the time of his train to Brighton. My information is that he was not expected at his conference until 2:30. Now, your deliveries of wine, I understood they were always made on Monday at noon?
Howard is extremely precise about time, Sergeant.
Then on the face of it, ma'am, he could have poisoned the decanter himself before he left for Brighton.
Be very careful, Sergeant.
I checked Bradshaw, Mr. Allingham. Mr. Cromer could have left Kew as late as 1:45, changed to a fast train, the 1 at Clapham Junction, and still reached Brighton by 2:30, the time he was expected.
If Mr. Cromer were here, Sergeant, he'd...
Unfortunately, he is not, Mr. Allingham. As you well know, we've been unable to locate him.
So, you impugn his reputation, Chief Inspector. Howard poison his assistant? What motive could he have?
The same as Mrs. Cromer's. Both their reputations were at stake.
I have no idea what you mean.
Julian Duquesne, Howard Cromer, they're one and the same.
Oh.
The man who took your photographs, Mr. Allingham's best friend, your husband. Do you deny it?
How can I? Howard, did he tell you?
Not exactly, ma'am. Link came through another photograph, a literary outing in Hampstead, to Whale Walk. No doubt you and Mr. Allingham recall it. Well? But what interests me more is the blackmail. Why you paid Josiah Percival?
I have already stated my reason, Sergeant.
Fear. But your husband took the photographs, ma'am. You could have confided in him without shame. Yet you paid.
Howard Cromer is an impulsive man, Sergeant. Had the blackmail extended to him, there is no telling what... Surely you understand.
Completely, sir. I understand it wasn't indecent photographs that might alarm Mr. Cromer. It was Mrs. Cromer's connection with Hampstead and Judith Honeycutt's death from cyanide.
Judith committed suicide, Sergeant, and there was an inquest.
But you know certain information had been withheld.
Do I?
Yes, ma'am. The information that Judith Honeycutt and Julia Duquesne were engaged to be married.
That... It was never official. There was no engagement ring. Anyway, how could you know about it?
The day before Judith died, she had tea with a friend, confided that she and Mr. Duquesne were engaged.
She was extremely happy.
And this friend she spoke to?
Lottie Piper.
Lottie. Lottie has spoken to you?
Extremely freely.
Oh, she would. But then Lottie never did like me. And do you know why, Sergeant? Because Howard picked me to be his model. Not Judith, not Lottie, me. You knew all about it, Simon. Tell him.
Sergeant Cribb, Howard wouldn't do it.
I know that Miss Honeycutt was expecting a child, sir.
Yes, Sergeant. And that is why Howard poisoned her.
Miriam!
Oh, why deny it, Simon? Judith Honeycutt was a cheap dolly mop. No, worse. Her price was marriage as well as money. Howard allowed himself to be trapped.
Miriam, I urge you, do not say any more.
I must, Simon, otherwise they will hang me. God knows I've stayed silent long enough.
But this is not the way. Howard...
Do not accuse me of disloyalty, Simon. Howard has condemned himself by running away. You're right, Sergeant. My husband lived in dread that the true circumstances of Judith Honeycutt's suicide would be uncovered, that he would be arrested, tried. And when I told him about the blackmail, that Percival had traced the original plates to Hampstead, was planning to buy them, Howard panicked. He was certain Percival would discover he was Julian Duquesne, his relationship with Judith, perhaps more. So, instead of going to Brighton that Monday morning, he stayed at Park Lodge, poisoned the decanter. My husband murdered Josiah Percival. You condemned an innocent woman to death.
Please calm yourself, Mrs. Cromer. I warned you, Cribb.
Mr. Allingham, do you have anything to say?
Say, no.
As Mr. Cromer's solicitor?
Simon, Howard is guilty. You must confirm it.
You know I cannot.
Simon, for me, for us, please, Simon, you must save me, you must!
Thackeray, you'll be all right in a moment, ma'am. Now, sit yourself again. There.
Thank you. Simon.
Gentlemen. On the morning Josiah Percival was murdered, Howard Cromer visited me. Needed advice. Over the weekend, Mrs. Cromer had confided in him about the blackmail. He arrived, and my clerk will confirm it, at 11 o'clock. He left just before 1 to catch a train from Victoria. Therefore, as I am sure you will accept, he could not have poisoned the Madeira.
He's lying, Sergeant. You must understand, it was Simon, his idea. He made me confess to save Howard. Promised me I would be pardoned. And now they want me dead. You must believe that, Sergeant. You must.
I do, ma'am. I believe you expected to be pardoned. That the whole purpose of Mr. Allingham's plan was aimed at just that. But that wasn't enough for you. You want your husband to be convicted as well.
He is guilty.
On what evidence, Mrs. Cromer?
You appear to have overlooked one crucial point, Chief Inspector.
Ma'am?
The key to the poison cabinet. I did not have one. Howard did.
True, ma'am. Very true. But you had a key, all right. You borrowed it from Mr. Percival.
Did I? Of course. I just asked him for it, Sergeant. And he meekly handed it over. A means to his own destruction. You'll have to improve on that, Sergeant.
Oh, you didn't ask Percival for his key to the poison cabinet, ma'am. You're far too sharp for that. No, you asked him for a key to the chiffonier. An innocent request, seeing your husband was away and Percival was aware that the decanters had to be topped up. Naturally, he'd dig in his pocket and hand you his key ring.
Which I immediately returned once the chiffonier was unlocked.
But without the key to the poison cabinet. A simple matter to remove it without Percival realizing.
Then how did the key get back on the key ring? You recall it was found on Mr. Percival's body.
That did puzzle me, ma'am. Then. Way I see it now, I reckon after you got home from seeing your dressmaker, the key was still in your possession. Percival, as you expected, was dead. But a doctor was in attendance and wanted to check the poison cabinet. Would have been a mite suspicious if you'd produced the key from your reticule, so you told him where to look. In Percival's trouser pocket.
I have never denied that point, Sergeant.
Glad we agree, ma'am. Now, as we know, Mr. Percival kept all his keys on a ring, and it was that the doctor handed you. All you had to do was hold the loose key and the ring together, make it appear they were attached, when you unlocked the poison cabinet. Then while the doctor was examining the poisons, you slipped the loose key onto the ring, handed the whole bunch back to the doctor to replace on the body. But if you can suggest something different, ma'am...
You'd be willing to listen.
A pity you didn't heed Mr. Ellingham, ma'am. Said nothing. Left me to draw my own conclusions. One more day and you'd have got your pardon. And seeing every word in your confession was true, barring the details you left out, and the law can't touch you for things you don't say, I couldn't have even got you for perjury.
Sarge, a bit early for a meet, though.
Sit down, Thackeray.
Tell us, Sarge. But Regent's Park, Sarge, we should be...
Keep silent, Thackeray.
Oh, right. Sorry, Sarge.
It's over, Thackeray. What a waste. Beautiful, intelligent.
And callous, Sarge. Right devil's brew.
Don't make her any less remarkable, Thackeray. But Cromer, Allingham.
Could still nick him.
Nah. The decision to kill Percival's was Miriam's alone. As far as Jowett's concerned, it's case closed.
But the whole plan, that was Allingham. Her confession, the photograph, Cromer's vanishing act.
Designed to save Miriam. To raise doubts. Force us into arresting Cromer for murder. And Allingham knew we couldn't do that. At least not until Miriam was pardoned. Once she was free, Howard would have surrendered. Produced his cast-iron alibi.
But it'd confirm her guilt.
Naturally. But autrefois convict, Thackeray.
Who's he, Sarge?
Forgetting common law, Thackeray. No one can be convicted twice for the same offence.
Oh, right, right, Sarge, but you could have said it in English.
Either way, Thackeray, education never hurt anyone. And Allingham's plan was brilliant, really brilliant.
Then how did you get onto it?
It depended on people, Thackeray. Miriam in the death cell, waiting. Wondering when Howard would send us that picture. Howard considering how much information to provide or conceal. And Allingham, knowing one wrong move from either could destroy the plan and his career. Then, of course, there was the unforeseen.
You?
No. The fellow with the scar. The one Howard assumed was a copper. And that's where he made his first mistake.
Don't follow, Sarge.
Howard humoured him. Took his photograph, and when Allingham told me about the visit, expressed curiosity in the visitor's identity, it showed how desperate they were to learn what the police were up to. Made me wonder. And when Cromer did his vanishing trick, well, couldn't ignore that. Used it on Jowett to obtain what I wanted all along, my meeting with Miriam Cromer. Never expected a woman so in command.
You did break her, son.
No. Miriam Cromer did herself in. Became overconfident. Improvised on the original plan and expected Allingham to back her. That's why I threw in Judith Honeycutt. Nothing had been said at the inquest about her engagement to Howard Cromer. Nor did Allingham know of it. Suddenly he realised Miriam had a motive for murdering Judith Honeycutt.
She wanted Howard Cromer.
Yes. And now she was equally ready to sacrifice him to get Allingham.
What do we do now?
We add to your education, Thackeray.
Not classes again, Sarge.
No. Madame Tussauds. Understand? They just installed a new waxwork.
Never thought it of you, Sarge.
What, Thackeray?
Bring us here to gape at Miriam Cromer. It ain't even an hour since she was topped. You think this lot would have something better to do? Even her clothes. Same as she wore in the dock. It beats me how they do it.
The source of the perfect supplier. The man we've come to see. Now, cast your eyes on him.
Blimey, Jim Berry. He was in the Bradford Constabulary. Had his face carved up in the ruckus on Bloody Sunday.
But he retired.
Became a lay preacher when he's not working for the Home Office.
So that's why he was interested in the Cromer, spied on Miriam.
Takes time to make these wax models, Thackeray. Height, weight, colour of eyes, all the intimate details needed by the sculptors. And who better to supply them than James Berry?
As you say, Sarge. Lucky for him they don't give his name.
Wouldn't fancy his chance as much if they did, Thackeray. A very intimate profession being the public hangman.
You have been listening to Waxwork by Peter Lovesey, dramatised by Geoffrey M. Matthews, with Brian Cox as Detective Sergeant Cribb, John Cater as Constable Thackeray, Sarah Berger as Miriam Cromer, and Don Henderson as James Berry. Roger Hume was Inspector Jowett, Gordon Reed, Howard Cromer, Kim Durham, Simon Allingham, and Claire Falconbridge, Lottie Piper, and the Wardress. Roger Rowland was Inspector Waterlow, Mrs. Berry and Dorothea Gillian Goodman, Tussaud and the Judge Edwin Richfield, the Governor and Hundleby Anthony Benson, and the Second Wardress Cynthia Cherry. Waxwork was directed in Pebble Mill by Vanessa Whitburn.